to them. Hallelujah. And Father, we give you glory. Thank you for your anointing, your call upon me to minister your word. And Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Give him a shout. Come on, just give him a shout.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to, most likely I will conclude 1 Peter today, and I've said that before and it didn't happen, but that's what I'm thinking. Praise God. But I want to take you back, I don't know, a couple of months, 3 months ago, I was ministering to you concerning Peter and what he went through, the frustration, disappointment, being disappointed in himself because of decisions that he made, mainly denying the Lord. But I'm so glad that Peter came back to the Lord, aren't you? What happens too many times, folk get out there, they get hurt, they get frustrated, somebody hurt them, somebody say something about them. And I've had people tell me over the years, you know, I'm not going to church. I've been hurt in church. I've been hurt. I'm not going back to church. It amazes me, though, that, and it's sad that they were hurt in church. Amen? Yeah, it's sad that they were hurt in church. But I have not heard one person yet, anyway, tell me, I was hurt on my job. I didn't like what they said to me, so I'm quitting. I ain't going back, you know. And I haven't heard that. Because you know that if you don't go back, you're not going to get paid. Amen. But you got to understand that when you sit under the word of God, you are being fed. And everyone in this sanctuary right now, I can say this confidently. Every one of us are different in some ways. Every one of us. We're different in some ways. We like some like things that others don't like. And we are alike probably in more ways than we are different. But we cannot and we must not allow our differences to separate us. We can't allow that to happen. Amen. I might like ice cream, you might like cake, but we can still get along and we can still fellowship. But now let me get back to where I was. There are people that have left churches or whatever. They say, I'm hurt, I'm sick of church, whatever, and I'm not going back. Well, that's not the answer. You hear me? That's not the answer. Amen. That's not the answer. Peter could have done the same thing. I was a disciple. And I messed up. Jesus didn't mess up. He did. I messed up. And I'm just, I'm not going to be a Christian. I'm not going to be a disciple any longer. Matter of fact, the Word of God tells us he went fishing, went back to his old job. But Jesus sent after him. He wanted to know where Peter was. And then he gave Peter these instructions. He says, when you've come back to me, or when you are converted, Strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. Say this with me. Say, we all have value. Why don't you tell somebody else? Tell them, say, you have value.
You have value.
Amen. Peter had value. And Jesus told him, when you're converted, Peter, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. And so that's one of the reasons we've been coming from 1 Peter. And I want you to drop down in chapter 5. Now, last week, he talked to the elder. We talked about elders, ministers, and then we talked about those that are to be submitted to them, to honor them, to submit to them. Don't give them a hard time. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then the Word of God began to tell us what we need to do and what we must do to live a victorious life in a very troubled world. How many of you know this world we're living in is very troubled? It is, let me add a very on that. It's very, very troubled. Amen. We're living in a very troubled world. Now, one thing is very, very important. We must make a decision that we are going to get along as saints of God. We must make a decision that we're going to work together for the glory of God. And Peter warned us about this as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. Look at I'll begin reading at verse 6, 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now look at verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You see that? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let me say that again. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, they have it on the screen here. Give me the Amplified version, please. If you can do that right quick for me. 1 Peter 5, 7 in the Amplified Bible. There it is. Listen. Now, say this is talking to me. Say the Word of God is talking to me. Says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. In other words, you cast them on him, don't go back and get them. Once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Don't buy into the lie of the devil, which says God don't care about you. Amen. Don't buy into the lie that says you are not important to God. Don't you buy that for a half a second. You got it in the Word of God. God cares about us. He cares about us affectionately, and he cares about us watchfully. And so we're told to cast all those cares over on him. By the way, not only cares of the ministry, but cares of this world. Matter of fact, Jesus himself said the hearts of many would be failing in the last days because of the cares of this world. Amen. Amen. Put yourself in a place where you say, I am trusting God. In good times, in bad times, I'm going to trust God. If you look at the stock market, sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. But even if it crashes, God expects us to continue on. Hallelujah. You're still here. So he tells us, and this is the word of God, but God used Peter to strengthen his brethren, and that includes us. Hallelujah. Now listen to what else he says. He says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And the next thing he says is, be sober. And this is not just talking about alcohol either. Although, speaking of alcohol, you need to be sober. The Bible has plenty to say about strong drink. But that's not where we're going. Hallelujah. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because, listen to this, because your adversary, everybody say adversary. The devil is not your friend. Let me say that again. The devil is not your friend. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion, but he walks around like a roaring lion doing what? All the time, 24/7. He's looking for someone he can take down. Hallelujah. And we need to know and understand that. So the Word of God tells us to be alert, to be sharp. Can I tell you something? I measure my life and my decisions by what the Word of God says. Because everything that looks good is not good. Everything that smells good is not good. We can be deceived. Matter of fact, Jesus called the devil exactly who he is. He is a deceiver. He is a deceiver. What he tries to do is get us to believe a lie. He presents a lie for us to accept as the truth. So we're told to be sharp. What do you mean, Pastor, be sharp? Be sharp in the Word of God. Know what the Word of God says. If someone comes to you with something off the wall, you can recognize it right away. This does not line up with the Word of God. This doesn't line up with the Word of God. Therefore, I'm not going there. I don't care how good it sounds. I'm not moving on that because it does not line up with the Word of God. You got to be sharp, 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 sharp. Everybody say sharp. Hallelujah. Give me 1 Peter 5:8, an Amplified Bible again. I want to read it to you from this version. Be well balanced. Sober of mind. Be vigilant. See that? And what? What? Cautious at all time. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion in furious hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Oh, I hope you're listening to me today, brothers and sisters. You need to be conscious of that fact that your enemy, your adversary, is looking for ways to bring you down. He's looking for ways to bring you down. And sometimes he'll use folk to do it. Somebody will say something that gets you upset, or something will happen that gets you upset, and now you've lost your joy. Where you had a song in your heart, now you don't. Who was it? David said, Lord, restore the joy of my salvation. We need to get the joy of our salvation back. Amen. Many of us need to get the joy of our salvation back. We all face temptations every day of some sort. Something to try your patience. You still here? Something to get on your nerve. Have I heard it said, get on your last nerve. But I want to tell you something. Don't you let it happen. Upstairs, oh boy, I gotta remember where it is. I think Hebrews chapter 10. Well, let me find it myself before you go there. Glory to God. Are you still with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bear with me a minute. Okay. Not Hebrews. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13th verse. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. First Corinthians 10, verse 13. Now, before I read that, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have had something or someone to get on your nerve this week? Thank you for your honesty. Now, you don't have to respond, but my question to you is, no response. How did you handle it? How did you respond to it? Did you just lose it and have a fit? No response. Don't want one. Or did you just decide to sing to the Lord, bless the Lord, go to the Word of God, walk away if it's something to do with someone else? Well, listen, there's an answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation. No temptation. In other words, no temptation, no trial, nothing has overtaken you except such as common to man. First of all, you have to understand, whatever you're dealing with, whatever trial, whatever getting on your nerve, what's worrying your patience, or trying your patience, it's all common to man. But listen what it says. But God is what?
Faithful.
Say what?
Faithful.
Say it again.
Faithful.
But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. In other words, he won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. But with the temptation, will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that we have the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad we have the Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But we got to be sharp. We got to be alert. We got to be able to recognize when the devil is trying to get under our skin. We got to be able to recognize that and say, nope, not today. Not today, devil, and tomorrow ain't looking good either. Sometimes we need to say something. What did Jesus do when he was approached by the devil? The Bible says he was tempted, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was tempted by the devil. What did he do? You better go on, Mr. Devil, and leave me alone. I'm not bothering you. You leave me alone. No, He told the devil, get behind me. And that wasn't a suggestion. Sometimes we need to speak up and say, get behind me, seven, Satan, get out of my face. But Pastor, I can't say that. People think I'm crazy, you know. Well, just do this. Mr. Devil, come on. We're going to the bathroom. It's just you and me. Now get away from me in the name of Jesus. You walk out the bathroom with a smile on your face. Hallelujah. Stay sharp, stay alert. Cast all those cares on Jesus. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again today. We were not created to carry weights. That was not God's intention, for us to carry weights, worry. That's the reason the Bible tells us don't worry about anything, but through prayer, give it to God and go free. I'm going to tell you something. You know, there's a lot of talk, you know, and this is terrible. In whatever capacity it is, it's terrible. Physical slavery is a terrible thing. It's a devilish thing. You hear me? But there are still folks that are slaves today in their minds, their emotions. The devil have them enslaved. They're not happy. That's the reason sometimes people eventually commit suicide. They just, I can't deal with this anymore. I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this. Something has them in bondage. But I'm so glad Jesus came to set us free. You hear me? Jesus came to set us free. I've heard, you know, we were for a while involved in prison ministry some years ago, and I've heard inmates say, you know what? I'm locked up here in this prison. I'm an inmate, and these are Christian inmates. He says, they would say, but I am free, freer than many of those that are walking the streets, because they are bound in their minds and their souls. They're hurt. They've been hurt, and they won't release it to Jesus Christ. When we stand before the Lord, he's probably going to ask us, why did you go through so much? I was right here to help you. I love you. You're mine. I died for you. I shed my blood for you so that you could be free. My freedom and your freedom, my happiness and your happiness is not dependent on what someone else does. It is dependent upon what Jesus Christ did. And whom the Son sets free is what?
Free.
Whom the Son sets free is what?
Free.
Free indeed. So we've been cautioned by the word of God. Stay alert. Stay sharp. Recognize when something's coming after you to bound you up. Just don't let it happen. Are you still here? Glory to God. Let me go back to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Verse 8 again. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And listen how he tells us how to resist him. You see that? Verse 9. Resist him how? Steadfast in the faith. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Well, how in the world can I resist him steadfast in the faith? Put the word of God on him. Do like Jesus did. He was our example. You put the word of God on him. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Therefore, I'm free. And I'm going to walk in my freedom. Remember the song that they sang in church sometimes? I guess they still do. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. The world didn't give it to me. The joy you have, it came from Jesus, not from the world. The world trying to give you sadness, frustrations, heartaches. But we resist him in the faith. Verse 9. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Listen to this. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Wow. Whatever you're going through, dealing with, you're not by yourself. If you're being persecuted, you're not by yourself. If you've been talked about, you're not by yourself. You know one thing I cannot stop? God's given all of us authority, haven't He? But we have limited authority. We cannot stop other folks from talking about us. Ain't a thing you can do about that. So don't get caught up on what they're talking about. You just know what the truth is, and you keep going. If they're lying on you, they lying on you, you keep moving forward. You know what the truth is. People are going to talk. That's just life. Folk going to talk. But don't let it get on the inside of you. But listen what he says, verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Whatever it is you're dealing with right now, you need to know something. It's not permanent. It's very, very temporary. Hallelujah. It's temporary. Verse 11, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And I'm going to close right there, but I want you to get this in your spirit. God always has the last word. Did you hear me? If things are not looking too good right now, don't sweat it. You just keep on praising God. You keep on speaking His word, because God's going to have the last word. Bless the name of the Lord. And you're looking at a winner. Am I looking at winners out here? If I'm looking at winners, go ahead and testify by saying amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you right now for your love, your mercy, your grace. And Father, we thank you for our great future that we have in Christ Jesus.